This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey, everybody, it's Jessica, and today I want to talk to you about two legal stories. The first is the Supreme Court's decision to hear the challenge to the so-called TikTok ban. And the second is this kind of legal kerfuffle over a federal judge that criticized Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito over the fact that there were flags associated with those who stormed the Capitol on January 6th that were flown at his primary residence and also his vacation home. So first, let's start briefly with the TikTok news. The latest is that the Supreme Court will hear this challenge to the so-called TikTok ban on an accelerated timeline on January 10th, 2025. The law is set to go into effect on January 19th. Now, the Supreme Court did not pause the law while it decides to hear the case, which indicates that it might actually rule before January 19th. The legislation we're talking about mandates that TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, either divest its U.S. operations by January 19th, 2025, or face a nationwide ban. Biden signed this law back in April of 2024. Now, what happened in the lower court, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the law as constitutional. They found that there were national security concerns that justified the law, and the three-judge panel who made that decision included appointees from President Obama, President Trump, and President Reagan. Let's talk about the parties' arguments here. The government's argument, that's the argument in favor of the legislation, is that there's a national security issue. And members of Congress, after seeing classified information, concluded that TikTok's Chinese ownership poses national security risks. And specifically, what are those risks? They include potential data access by the Chinese government. So that's a data privacy concern. And also the potential manipulation of content on TikTok. That's a concern about propaganda and disinformation. Now, what about ByteDance? So ByteDance argues that there's a First Amendment violation here. ByteDance says that the law violates the First Amendment rights of users by eliminating a mode of communication without a compelling reason to do so. They also say that the national security concerns are overblown or not based in reality. Last thing, what about the fact that President Trump, who previously was in favor of the legislation, has now indicated that maybe he's not? What are his options here? Well, number one, he could tell his attorney general not to enforce the law. So the law would still be on the books. The Department of Justice just wouldn't be bringing any cases for those who violate the law. Number two, he could try and get Congress to repeal the law, but it did have broad bipartisan support. Number three, he could say the law no longer applies because there was a qualified divestiture by ByteDance, but it's not clear that that qualified divestiture actually has or will occur. And number four, he could advocate the sale of TikTok to an American company, although certainly that's been a possibility since this legislation was signed in April and it hasn't happened yet. So I hope that helps you break down the big TikTok legal news. And of course, we will be following that challenge. Now on to the next story about Justice Samuel Alito. I want to talk to you about an underreported legal story that I thought was really interesting that just came out this week. And it involves a federal district court judge, Judge Ponsor, who criticized a Supreme Court judge, Justice Samuel Alito, for Justice Alito having flags that were flown at his home and his vacation home that were similar to those flags that were held by people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th. Now, the punchline here is that Judge Ponsor has faced repercussions. He has been found to have violated the judicial code of conduct for his criticism of Justice Alito, but Justice Alito will not face any official consequences because this judicial code of conduct applies to every federal judge except members of the Supreme Court. And I think there are some good and bad reasons that that's the case. But I wanted to unpack this particular story a little bit because I know Supreme Court watchers are really focused on the potential crisis of confidence in the Supreme Court. And this story is really one about the importance of the impartiality of the judicial system. Because ultimately, if we just think judges are politicians in robes, then we lose respect for this branch. And if we lose respect for the branch and we start just ignoring their decisions, then we have a true constitutional crisis. So I'm reminded of a quote by Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, who, of course, passed away years ago. He said in a commencement address, "Where you see something wrong or inequality or injustice, speak out, because this is your country. This is your democracy. Make it, protect it, pass it on." And this is what District Court Judge Michael Ponsor did when he published an op-ed in the New York Times criticizing Justice Alito. He took, as I said, Justice Alito to task for the fact that flags associated with the MAGA movement and people who stormed the Capitol on January 6 were flown at his Virginia and New Jersey homes. So Judge Ponsor, writing for the New York Times on May 24th, argued that, quote, "Regardless of its legality, displaying the flag in that way," and what he means is displaying the flag upside down, "at that time shouldn't have happened. To put it bluntly, any judge with reasonable ethical instincts would have realized immediately that flying the flag then and in that way was improper and dumb." Alito, in part in response to backlash and questions surrounding the flying of flags at his homes, sent letters to members of Congress dated May 29th, in which he reiterated that it was his wife's decision, not his decision, to fly those flags. He said in those letters that he was opting not to recuse himself from any cases involving January 6. And of course, when it comes to Supreme Court justices, they are the final say on whether or not they should recuse themselves. That's because, as I said, all federal judges except the 9 on the Supreme Court are subject to a binding code of conduct. Now, why do we have this code of conduct? The basic idea is that because we give judges enormous power in our government, because they make hugely consequential decisions on everything from reproductive choice to the freedom of speech, and because they have their jobs for life, that we get to ask something in return. And the thing that we get to ask for in return is that they act like impartial jurists. And Judge Ponsor was calling out Justice Alito, saying, "You're not acting in a way that's impartial. Even if you weren't the one who decided to fly the flags, that it creates an appearance problem." The problem here is that Ponsor himself becomes part of the issue he complained about. Again, the difficulty the public has in trusting the judiciary when he publicly criticized Alito. Now, when any judge engages in or tolerates behavior that calls into question their impartiality, whether it's flags flown at Alito's houses or Ponsor in his essay pointing out the problems with the display of those flags, I think it threatens our confidence in the judiciary. In his essay criticizing Alito, Ponsor himself wrote, quote, "Courts work because people trust judges." Now, after a complaint was filed against Ponsor over the op-ed and an investigation was conducted, Ponsor acknowledged that he violated the code of conduct, and he wrote a letter of public apology saying, "I shouldn't have done that." Alito, of course, made no such admission that he did anything wrong or that he caused people to question the impartiality of the judiciary. But again, there's no binding code of conduct that, as a Supreme Court justice, Alito could have violated. He simply wasn't similarly situated. Let's be clear here. Two people can be wrong at the same time, and their wrongs can be of different degrees. Ponsor called out behavior that he and many others believe is genuinely problematic. And he's uniquely situated to explain why, as a sitting federal judge, he believes that another sitting federal judge, Alito, failed to act, again, quote, as any judge with reasonable ethical instincts would have. Now, are there legitimate grounds for Ponsor's criticisms? Absolutely. But the very reason Ponsor is especially well positioned to speak on this issue is the same reason he should not have spoken. Now, again, Ponsor is officially chastised for his actions, while Alito will face no official repercussions for the flags that flew at his properties or his decision not to recuse from January 6 related cases. And again, that's because it's only the Supreme Court that is not subject to this Biden code of conduct. I think it's completely fair to argue about whether this is good or this is wise, but that doesn't change the fact that it is the case. Now, in an ideal world, judges and justices would conduct themselves in a way that would mean we wouldn't even need a code of conduct. But that's clearly not our world. That's a world of unicorns and fairies. So the continued viability of any judicial branch is largely a trust exercise. I'm going to end where I began, which is to say, if we cease to believe judges' decisions are legitimate and we begin to ignore those decisions, then judges lose their power and we face a true constitutional crisis. So that's a little bit of information on what happened this week in terms of Judge Ponsor facing, again, violation of the code of ethics for his essay in which he criticized Justice Alito and his ethics. I hope you enjoyed this quick explainer. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe.